Part C.
Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world, knows little g, has blinded the minds, listen, of the unbelieving ones. That's volitional. They don't have power over you unless you surrender it. Nobody has power over you unless you surrender it. Don't you know that? Every time I think about that, I always think about Jane's dad, who's captured everything in the Second World War three times by the Germans. And I don't know how many times he would tell me, they never captured me. Oh, I was in prison three times. But they never got me. I never surrendered my will. I was always free, Ron. I was always free. Isn't that something? Where did he get that kind of thinking? Because he was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody can take my will from me except that which I surrender. And he never surrendered. Never. Never. And I think about that a great deal when I think of a passage like that. The idea is to never surrender your will to anyone but the Lord. And then you have to be careful when you start surrendering it to whoever else you surrender it, don't you? You need to be careful who you surrender your will to. For you put a lot of power in that hand. Would you agree? You put a lot of power in that hand. I can't get young people to listen to me. And those who won't listen, then they find this out the hard way. And it can be a very hard lesson to learn. He said, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving ones so that they might not see. Where are they going to see from? Their minds. Right? He blinded their what? Minds. He messed with their mind so they couldn't see what was true. You ever met people like that? That's how you know the devil. That's how you know the devil's got their head. You understand? Got their head. Man, you don't want him to have your head. And you're the only one that can, listen, you're the one who surrenders it, you're the one who takes it back. Anytime you want it back, you take it. Isn't that something? You can take it, you give it, you can take it back. Did not the prodigal son take it back? How did he do it? Said it came to his senses. He turned to the will of God. Back. That's pretty powerful stuff right there. Shows the power that's in your hands that you surrender to others. You need to be careful about that. Jesus was involved in this very thing when he was tempted in Matthew 4. Listen to Acts 26:18. It says that they preached the gospel to open their eyes so that they may turn. To open their eyes. They preached the gospel. They preached the gospel with simplicity. Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised on the third day to give you eternal life. Boom. And when they, listen, when they see that, they see the light. You're trying to give them the light of the gospel, which is the image of Christ, the Son of God. And those who have positive volition surrender that, or they believe in their mind, they believe, and they believe because their mind has been opened to see the truth. That happened to you? Happened to me. And listen, he can open your mind. He can open the minds of some of the most idiot people in the world. I was one. Deep into atheism, gospel given to me in simplicity. Because I had positive volition towards God, my mouth Listen, my mouth argued atheism from intellect, but my heart yearned for God, for an answer to this mess in my life. And when I heard the clarity of the gospel, even though my mouth and my intellect spoke atheism, my heart yearned to know if there was a true God in this world that would care for a guy like me. And that this stuff of Christianity would be real. And when I heard that gospel, the simplicity that he had died for my sins, was buried and raised from the dead, if I believed it, I would get it. My eyes, the eyes of my mind towards truth was opened. And I was turned. I was turned in my heart from darkness to the light of Jesus Christ. I mean, I still get goosebumps on me. I guess that's what they are. No feathers, just the bumps. I've been in this Christian faith life since 1963. And when I say the things I just said, I am still mesmerized by it. I still can't believe it, that it is so real. And he says, we preach the gospel with simplicity to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan to the domain of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and receive an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Christ. There are three classifications, and I want you to get this. Point three, I want you to get this. You got to remember, Jesus said there's mechanics. I want to show you something about the will of God that is so outrageous. This is what this whole thing's about. There are three aspects, there's three classifications of the will of God that you got to pay attention to in your life. The directive will of God, the permissive will of God, and the overruling will of God. You must understand that. These three are the key. These three are the key. Before you will not do the will of God, to do the will of God, you must understand those three things. Now, the directive will of God is what most everybody talks about. That is that which God has revealed to us from His Word to pertaining to what He wants. Okay? That's the directive will of God. It's that will of God that has been revealed on a specifics of what He wants. What does He want me to do? For Jesus, it was to go to the cross in regard to do the will of Him who sent me. But it could be a lot of things, but it is that part of the Word of God that has been revealed pertaining to what the believer must believe to do. He must believe it to do it. The permissive will of God is what God permits to slide in your life in order to get that will done according to His plan. Did you get that? Now I'm going to show it to you. Now I'm going to just leave it out there on a limb for you. Now I'm going to give it to you. And the overruling will of God is when He interferes in the permissive will of God. He said, enough's enough. Boom. This is done. Now we're going to do one of two things. You understand? That's the overruling will of God. God steps in and goes like, enough's enough. This is where the rubber hits the pavement. Or whatever illustration you have. To understand that is so important. Now I'm going to take Jonah, the story of Jonah, and illustrate it. You know the story of Jonah. He says to Jonah, in chapter 1, right off the bat, he says to Jonah, I want you to leave here. By the way, he was on dry land when God told him this, which is important in the book of Jonah. Let me tell you, you always want to be on dry land. And so he tells Jonah, here's the will of God. I want you to leave. I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel. Agreed? Okay. That's the directive will of God. See, Jonah absolutely has to. In the fourth chapter, Jonah comes back and said, I understood it so well, I didn't want to go. I mean, I knew what he meant by that. I knew exactly what he meant when he said, I want you to leave here, I want you to go to Nineveh. Listen, the Ninevites, the Syrians, were the bitter enemies. That's like going to Iran. Look, Ron, I want you to go to Iran. I want you to walk up down the streets and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ron who? Is there a last name? There are a lot of Rods in this world that I could think of need to go to Iran and preach the gospel. And would you spell Edomah? See, that's Jonah. You want me to go where and do what? But that is the directive will of God. And you have to, listen, he don't care if you sit around and talk about it a while, but in the end he wants you to surrender your will to it. Agree? That's the directive will. And listen, he don't mind if you got to sit around until you get an understanding of it. It's okay with him. He'll talk to you until you understand. But once you understand, he wants you to do it. You got to surrender your will to it. So Jonah, he goes like, yes, Lord, I heard you. Did you understand? Oh, yeah, Lord. I heard you, Lord. I know exactly what you want me to do. Now, are we through? Yeah. Okay, well, you know, I have to pack and do some things. All right. Like God, like if God says, okay, you're dismissed from prayer, it's like he can't follow us. And so he goes home and he packs, and the Lord says to himself, he's packing a whole lot of clothes. Those are unnautical clothes. He's got a bathing suit. He's packing notable. Ah, this is a whole dry land deal. Why is he? He thinks he's going to get me. He thinks he's going to pull one over on God. He's dumb. And so he gets in a boat, and he goes in the farthest direction he can from the will of God, right? And you know the story. Listen, did God permit him? Did God let him get on a boat? Did let the boat get way, 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 way out there? And then he put a storm, and he said, hello, Jonah! He puts a storm on him. That's the permissive will of God. The sailors are going nuts because they don't hear Jonah. They just hear Wahoo. They throw him overboard by permission. He submitted his will to those bunch of sailors. Girls, you know not to do that. Stay away from sailors. Well, Jonah, they throw him overboard. Be careful who you surrender your will to. They throw him overboard. This is still the permissive will of God. God still has this. God still believes in Jonah. After everybody threw him away, Derek, they all threw him away there. God still believed in him. Sing, choir. I'm ready. Now you know why I don't have a full church. Just me and Derek. That is the permissive will of God. That is the permissive will of God. He's going to let him have enough rope to what? To drown. Have you people never listened to me? I'm not fishing with you, buddy. Yeah, just look what you'd have missed if you'd have went home. You'd have missed all this annex. That's the permissive will of God. Listen, he tumbles down, he's underwater. He tumbles, according to the Bible, he tumbles down a mountain. To the bottom. And what do you think is going through his head? It ain't the will of God. Seaweed gets wrapped around, the Bible says seaweed got wrapped around his head. At the bottom of the mountain, at the bottom of the sea. He has still got the permissive will of God working in his life. God still has a plan for his life. The plan that was started on dry land, we're now on wet land. Are we on land? The sea! And God still has a permissive will. And he looks down the valley, and here comes this big sea monster. And he knows he's going to pass right over him, right? Not the way his day's going. Have you ever had one of those days? Over here! Take me out of my misery! God, may this day get over! Come on! He picks him up. This is still the permissive will of God. I'm listening. I ain't heard a prayer yet. Haven't heard him come to his senses. I've heard him gurgle. But I don't think he was praying. And in chapter 2, you hear this magnificent prayer, his confession of sin. And he confesses his sin and is restored. He is restored to fellowship with God inside a fish. Can I tell you, this would be a lot better place to do it today? And the fish whirls around, takes him to shore, spits him out. He's back on dry land. Third chapter, verse 1, it says, the will of God was restated a second time. It's good to know that God is full of patience. Huh? It says to him again, guess what, Bubba? I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to preach. How do we feel about it today? what do you think? You think we ought to do that? Or do you want to go round 2? That's called the overruling will of God, who intervenes and goes like, this is it, buddy. This is it. We either go upstairs and get our job done, or we go woo and get our, we're done. This overruling will of God. And Jonah goes and does the will. He surrenders to the will of God. This could have been done a whole lot easier, couldn't it? Can I tell you, it could be done a whole lot easier in your life today. Am I going to stay with you and stay with you and stay with you until you surrender your will of God? When he surrenders your will of God, he's going to put you right back where he started. You're going to be, yeah, but I smell like, yeah, and I'm about my life. That's all right. I'm in the cleanup business. Huh? God's in the cleanup business. Thank God he's in the cleanup business. Now, I want to show you three things that has to go with the directive will, and then I'll quit. So you better listen. Go way on the money. For the directive will to work, so in your human intelligence you can understand it, there are three things with the directive will of God that need to be coordinated in your intelligence. The mental will of God, the operational will of God and the geographical will of God. Here it is. Mental will of God. What does God's will want me from me? What does he want me to think? For Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel. You understand? That's the mental will of God. In other words, what specifically does the will of God ask of me? Are you with me? Operational will of God. What does the will of God want me to do? What is it he wants me to do? When it says to do the will of God, what do you want me to do? What is the do? You know? Ronnie, that's mama, right? In not a good mood. Ronnie, otherwise I'd be Ron. Ronnie, I want you to clean up your room. Oh, if she left it there, I could clean up the room. Ronnie's way. Right? The clothes stacked in this corner. Right? Oh, I could clean the room. Ronnie's way. But if she said, Ronnie, I want your room cleaned. I want this done, this done, this done, this done, this done, five things done. Then I got this attitude. But now I know what she means by clean the room. Do the room. I know what she means, do the room. It's not left up to Ronnie's room. It's now mother's room that I live in. You see, so there is a mental will of God. There's an operational will. Well, just exactly what do you want me to do? I want you to go to Nineveh, the geographical will of God. I want you to walk through the streets and tell everybody there the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what I want from you. This is how I want you to think. When you think the gospel from daylight to dark. I'm going to tell you, if you come to understand what I've told you today about the will of God, it will revolutionize your Christian life. I'm telling you, it will knock your socks off. You'll be a barefooted, happy person. All right, well, Bill Morgan, it's so good to have you home with us again. If you close us in prayer.
Father, we thank you so much for this lesson today. Operational will of God for our lives. Father, I pray that these truths might be engrafted in our souls. That it is, and go forth in this place. That our eyes might be open, the truth is set before us. And that indeed Jesus Christ might be honored and glorified, to walk in his will, as we seek to obey. Father, give us a heart to hear and a mind to see these truths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.